for those of you who are perhaps visiting our country for the first time and are not sure where the various states are located, Iowa is the state directly south of Minnesota. We share a border on the south edge of Minnesota. Agriculture is extremely important to our state economy. Iowa is, as you many of you know, the number one producer of corn, soybeans, ethanol, distillers, grain, pigs, and eggs in the U.S. So your companies are extremely important to our economy, and we appreciate that very much. Some of the things that I'm going to focus on here in the next 20 minutes or so are closely related to, or in some cases overlap, what you've heard from previous speakers. The biofuels industry has expanded extremely rapidly in the last 6 years. We'll look at a chart of that in a moment. It has become a major feed ingredient both domestically and in international markets. Here in the U.S., it is marketed in several different forms. We have the dry distiller's grain that's dried to 10% moisture typically. We have a modified distiller's grain that is partially dried. We have a wet distiller's grain, and that's especially useful for the beef feeding industry. Gives a higher feed conversion efficiency versus corn than the dry distiller's grain. In some cases, I have some cattle feeder friends who are just feeding the stillage and feeding that with corn stover or corn stalks and getting very good results from it. So we have quite a combination of alternatives here in the U.S. that for those of you outside of the U.S. Probably are not generally available. This year is the first time in 17 years that we have seen a significant decline in distiller's grain production. And that, of course, is very, well, it's being driven by the severe drought here in the U.S. The ethanol industry is driven by a number of other factors. As we look at the current situation and then look ahead, we're looking at an extremely tight domestic and global feed grain situation, both feed grain and, for the next several months, soybeans and soybean products. And that comes back as a direct influence on the price of distiller's grain. The final crop sizes here in the U.S. and in various other countries are still subject to some revision. We don't expect a large change here in the U.S. Some private analysts think that in the final calculations, a smaller percentage of our corn crop may have been harvested for grain than currently indicated. We don't expect significant changes in the corn yield estimates. We're looking at Ukraine, for instance, that I understand is in the process of putting export restrictions on that will affect the feed markets and distillers' grain prices. We're seeing private estimates indicating the Australian wheat crop may be smaller than expected. It affects feed wheat, which has a higher protein content than corn. That, too, is a potential influence on distillers' grain prices. And then, of course, extremely important, what happens to weather in South America in the next 4 months. We are hoping that favorable weather will be the case in that area, and if so, it will have some impact most likely on the relationship between distillers' grain and corn prices. The ethanol mandate, a big question mark, as previous speakers have indicated. Exports and imports of ethanol. Our imports of ethanol have increased in the last couple of months. Our export situation is a question mark. That's going to depend on ethanol production in Brazil, particularly in the next several months, the size of the upcoming sugarcane crop there. Excess RINs, I will skip over that. Questions of who will reduce corn, or grain, and feed use, as previous speakers indicated. That's going to be an across-the-board reduction. We're seeing in the last several months about a 7 to 8% reduction in the amount of corn processed for ethanol versus a year ago. That percentage is going to be larger as we look at the next several months. And at least for the longer term, we anticipate an expanding export market for distillers' grain. We'll speak to that a little bit in just a short time. The big picture, the bottom line, we're looking at very tight feed grain supplies the next several months. I think looking beyond the latter part of 2013, we can be cautiously optimistic that those supplies will be more adequate. Dr. Elwin Taylor is a well-known climatologist. He studies drought cycles, U.S. and other areas. He cautions us that this is most likely a multi-year drought cycle, but in the past, there have been intermittent periods of improved yields. He anticipates better yields here in the U.S. next year. This is a look at distillers' grain production and corn processing for ethanol. From the period from 2006 to 2011, we had a 200% increase in distillers' grain production, matching up with the increase in corn processing for ethanol. Now, looking at that from an international picture, I'm looking at a little different perspective here. I'm comparing the corn use for ethanol here in the U.S. with global coarse grain exports. That blue line is the U.S. corn use gross processing for ethanol before correcting for distillers' grain that can be used to substitute for corn. These numbers are based on mid-June projections from USDA. I apologize, we don't have that adjusted for the downturn in ethanol production this year. But you can see in comparison with global coarse grain exports, it's become a large part of demand. The difference between the upper blue line and the red line is distillers' grain that has come back in to replace corn and other feed ingredients. From our domestic perspective and how the U.S. corn crop is being used and how it has been used the last several years, that lower part of the chart is the feed and residual use, and right above that is the yellow area is the distiller's grain that replaces corn, and I'll show you in a few moments the process we're using to get those numbers. And above it is the net use of corn for ethanol here in the U.S. Above that is the corn processing for other uses and then exports. And the red line at the top shows you the bushels of corn replaced in the export market by distiller's grain. One of the reasons for that downtrend in corn feeding here in the U.S. is that we've seen substantially increased feed conversion efficiency here in the U.S. The lower line shows the energy feeds fed per animal unit. And you can see that has trended sharply downward since the mid-2000s. The upper line is all feeds, which of course would include roughages, and you can see that has followed the downtrend. So we've seen a sharp increase in efficiency here in the U.S. livestock industry. Looking at distillers' grain production, we anticipate about a 10% drop this year. But we see that as being temporary. Looking out to 2022, we're projecting a gradual increase there. An important part of that assumption is that we can move beyond the blend wall with E15 and perhaps with more use of flex fuel vehicles. Now, in converting from distiller's grain to how much corn is replaced, how much soybean meal is replaced, we've drawn on work from a number of researchers. You notice in the reference here that Dr. Shearson is one of those. The circled areas are the midpoint. We have a range of estimates of how many tons of corn or kilos of corn are replaced when you feed, for instance, 1 kilo of distiller's grain to beef cattle. You can see that we've been using a 1.1 ratio. 1 kilo of distiller's grain replaces 1.1 kilos of corn on average. You can see how that varies by species. You can see the relationship or the replacement of distiller's grain replacing soybean meal in the lower area of that table. A few years back, we were concerned that we might produce so much distiller's grain, we would saturate the domestic market. Professor Dooley over at Purdue did a careful study of what might be our maximum U.S. distiller's grain market here. And we have taken his numbers. You can see that the lower range there, the 2009-2010 upper limit in his estimates was around 30 million metric tons. And then for the longer term, he calculated an upper limit of about 45 million tons. I'll skip over to the next slide to give you a perspective on what we're seeing. That lower area is what we anticipate in distiller's grain being used in the domestic markets. We're anticipating growth in export markets over the next several years. And compared with Dooley's upper limits on distiller's grain, we don't see a significant risk of saturating the U.S. domestic market. Replacements by species, you can see dairy and beef have been large users of distiller's grain here in the U.S., less so on the pork and poultry, and then the exports. And we're showing three different projection levels for 2012-2013. That's our current marketing year. The low projection is slightly lower corn production than the latest USDA estimate. The upper or the high projection is slightly higher than USDA estimate. The medium yield is based on USDA's October crop forecast or estimate. Export growth, you saw this chart from Jeff, and you can see, of course, that it has increased very sharply in the last 4 or 5 years. This was 2009-2010, the first year of large exports of distiller's grain to China. They suddenly came in as a market for roughly one-fourth of our distiller's grain exports. You can see other major markets, Canada, Mexico, Turkey, and then some others on that chart. To put this in perspective, historically, here's what the numbers look like. You can see China, and there were some concerns in China about whether we were subsidizing our distillers' grain exports unfairly. I believe that issue now has been resolved, and we're seeing an uptrend in distiller's grain exports to China. As you look at this chart, you notice the total has trended down. That's the 2011-12 marketing year. The decline was, to a large extent, in exports to the European Union. There may have been some GMO issues there. Soybean meal replaced, again, we're looking at about a 10% drop there. Versus last year, and we're cautiously optimistic that that's going to be temporary. Price relationships, this is the corn price and the distiller's grain price in dollars per metric ton. And you notice that historically, distiller's grain has most of the time been priced lower than corn, and we've seen a sharp uptrend in that, with distillers grain prices actually moving above corn in recent months. I believe that's partly due to tight soybean meal supplies. Seasonally, we tend to have a peak in distillers grain prices as a percent of corn during the winter months. It's partly due to our beef cow calf producers being able to use distillers grain at that time. Soybean meal and distillers grain prices, you can see the, again, a sharp uptrend in both of those this year, reflecting the drought impact. As percent of soybean meal, the lower line is distillers grain prices adjusted for the lower protein content than soybean meal. And you'll notice that differential has widened somewhat this year. Here are some additional price information for U.S. export points to various destinations. This comes from the Distillers Grain Council website. The address for that is at the very bottom of that slide. I encourage you to look at that if you're not already familiar with it. Dollars saved versus otherwise using corn and soybean meal. Our estimates showed about $1.27 billion saved in the 2010-11 marketing year. That looks as though for the year just finished, that'd be a little less than that, a little under $1 billion. But still, a very substantial potential savings versus using corn and soybean meal. Key issues for the future, a big one, how fast will that E10 market emerge for ethanol? We believe, as Jeff indicated, that's going to take some time, but longer term we think that will develop, as well as more in the E85 market. That could be accelerated with some government incentives, increased incentives for blender pumps to blend out E15. Future value of the dollar, petroleum prices, energy economics, all of that will affect distillers grain prices. Our U.S. government is increasing fuel mileage mandates on vehicles, and that will shrink the potential ethanol market. So that's another question mark. And then the advanced biofuels and removal of corn oil from distillers grain, that is being driven partly by the increased mandates for use of biodiesel here in the U.S. And then longer term, there are some new technologies being explored, including biobutanol, some question marks on how that is all going to work out. Well, our major conclusions, distillers grain production and corn cost are driving that market, and prices are going to be closer to corn the next several months than historically. We think after the South American soybean crop is harvested with good weather there, distillers grain prices may drop back to or below corn prices somewhat later in the season. And then it's very likely that will happen after the 2013 U.S. crop is harvested. And a very important emerging issue is the changing composition of distillers grain. And that's going to be a challenge to the industry, to how to price those various different types of distillers grain, including the low fat, the other new products that may be coming on stream that Dr. Scherson has talked about. There's my contact information. I encourage you to check out our website, Ag Marketing Resource Center, or agmrc.org. There's a lot of information related to biofuels, climate change, ethanol, corn and soybean, distillers grain, supply, demand, and so forth. And with that, if we have time for a few questions, I would be very pleased to try to answer them.
Thank you.
Would there be any questions for Dr. Wisner?
I'm Donnie, one of Taiwan team members. First, I'd like to say thank you for all of you hosting this event, especially for USGC Taiwan Director Mr. Clover Zhang, Dr. Mr. Simon Chen. And my question is, this year, we see DDGS price a bit higher than corn, quite different from previous years. Will this be a new normal type? And what is the reason supporting this? Thanks.
I don't think that the higher price of distiller's grain relative to corn is necessarily a new normal situation. Part of that is being driven by very tight soybean and soybean meal supplies due to our severe drought here in the U.S. and severe drought in the previous South American soybean crop. I believe it's because of the additional protein in distiller's grain that the price has moved above corn. And with a return to normal weather in South America and the U.S., I think it's very likely that those distiller's grain prices will drop back to or a little below corn prices.
I want to know how elastic is the demand of DDGs to the changes in corn prices?
I don't have a specific elasticity number for you. My impression is that the price elasticity of demand for DDGs is very similar to that for corn. In fact, this year perhaps even a little more inelastic than for corn because of its value as a protein ingredient. But it is... there's not a great deal of difference, in my opinion, in elasticity of those versus corn.